Lake Effect continues now on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Teich. Cellist Robert Cohen joins us every month to talk about the life of a working classical musician. It is a segment we call On That Note with Robert Cohen.
Robert just completed a month's worth of concerts with the Fine Arts Quartet here in Milwaukee, and he joined us in the studio before he headed home to London. Robert, it is great to see you.
Oh, great to see you too, Bonnie.
We've talked a lot about what it's like to perform, what it's like to be on the platform, how you prepare to go on the platform, what happens when things go wrong on the platform. but you told me something about someone coming up to you and wanting to know what you think about when you're on the platform. And of course, my response to it would be, you're thinking about the music, but is that always true?
Well, that's really, that's a big question, actually. But I suppose that varies from experience to experience. But I mean, we're preparing, musicians are preparing for that moment for so long. And when you're actually walking onto the platform, I suppose the first thing is just, you know, appreciating that people are clapping and they're smiling. And, you know, there's a kind of etiquette. You have to bow, obviously. And you have to get myself settled carefully, physically on the platform, and adjust the cello and the piano bench that I sit on and try to find my home position. And meanwhile, I think I'm kind of aware that, you know, it's exciting. Maybe my heart's beating a bit faster than normal, the adrenaline and so on. And at the same time, I'm in the back of my mind. Obviously, I've got the thought that I'm going to play this piece of music. And so there's a preparation for that in a way that's, maybe the music is going on in my head, or maybe I'm just getting in the mood of the music. Some things are kind of conscious. I mean, there are some pieces of music where you have to actually think, this is going to be a really dark, heavy start to the piece of music, and I need to get myself into that mood. And other times, I think it just happens. You don't have to think about it. It's also not conscious. But my friend who asked me what I was doing, she is not an experienced concert goer. And she was talking about listening to me play with the Fine Arts Quartet, where we have music on the stage in front of us. And she was asking, you know, am I just reading the music? And I think the answer to that is absolutely not. I mean, the music is a kind of reminder of what you've planned to do. But then you take that deep breath before you start. And the first thing is a kind of surprise at the sound, because even though you've been preparing your sound and making decisions about what kind of voice you would like to speak in, so to speak, the acoustics can be completely different once the audience is in the hall. So the moment your bow touches the string, you pull from the cello a sound which is a little bit unexpected, especially if you have a very specific plan of what you want to do. So the first millisecond or two, when the strings start to vibrate and the cello starts to vibrate and you feel the resonance, you have to almost adjust that instantaneously to meet the mood of the music that you really want, and the push in the music and the flow and the energy in the music. So the first seconds are really about adjusting to that.
And it sounds like that would be almost, you know, like a subliminal adjustment, because are you literally thinking in your analytical brain, oh, I have to make this? I don't think so. I think it's almost an emotional response.
It is. And of course, it's such a fine control that if you consciously think about, oh, I need to press a bit more, I need to do this, or you're already kind of over controlling, and it's probably too late. You know, you need to get into the music in that moments of that first resonance. So that starts you off, and you slip very quickly into that first phrase of the music. And then your thoughts are all about how emotionally you feel and how the music feels. You're sensing your physical actions all the time. You're listening incredibly carefully, because you need to know whether your plans are working out. You know, it is sounding like you'd like it to sound.
And then, particularly when there's three other people on the stage with you.
Or, yes. Yeah. And you're relating your sound to their sound. And of course, that interaction of chamber music is very much about, well, if they sound a bit stronger or softer or something, you have to respond to that, or your input is going to create that impact with them as well. It's an interesting question, really. One of the big things is that you're sort of aware that you're diving into this huge sea, because you're playing a piece of music which is probably going to last, you know, half an hour or 35 minutes. And there isn't going to be a time to take a break. You're not going to be able to stop concentrating. You are really in there, right in the depths of the music. And the level of concentration is enormous. And then a level of physical energy required to play is phenomenal. I mean, I'm sure you're burning thousands of calories a minute. but you're aware in those first moments that you've got a long way to go. And sometimes at the end of the first section, like the first movement of a piece of music, maybe lasts 10 minutes. And then there's this momentary, you know, break. Well, you know, you take a moment and before you start the second section. And then you suddenly think, oh, my goodness, that's already gone. I've already finished that whole first 10 minutes because you're so absorbed in it. But the music in front of you is just that kind of thing where you've kind of written certain indications to remind yourself, but you've basically memorized it. I mean, the memory of the music comes from all that study, all the hundreds of hours of work with the music. And when you play with the music in front of you, as in mostly the case in chamber music, there are things that are reminding you, for instance, that it's somebody else who's going to give the upbeat for this next section. So it may be natural at that moment musically to follow the first violin in the quartet. But because of the plan of action, the second violin's decided that, you know, it might just be better in that particular case for them to give the upbeat. So you need those little reminders sometimes because it's so complex.
Yeah, I was wondering about the memorization part because as a soloist, of course, you do memorize your part.
That's right.
You're not sitting, normally you're not sitting in front of an orchestra with music in front of you as the soloist. The orchestra is, but you're not. But in chamber music, every chamber music concert I've ever gone to, it's so obvious. The professionals I'm talking about, they know the music. The music is not there for them to be playing from, if that makes sense. And so it seems like what you're saying is that's absolutely right. It's there as a reminder and a touchstone. But if the music blew away, you could probably finish the piece.
Yes. Yeah, the question of memorizing music, I think we've talked about it a bit before. When you play as a soloist, as you say, you consciously, in your learning process, you memorize it because you need to be completely free and the orchestra needs to be kind of following you in that way. And in chamber music, I mean, there are some groups that play from memory, but I have to say it's very, very complicated and difficult to memorize parts where you are not the main voice, where you are kind of accompanying, you're jumping in with a little bit here and there and supporting and occasionally playing a line and then moving away and then, you know, playing inner voices. It's much more difficult to actually memorize, you know, half an hour or 45 minutes of music than it is if you are the soloist and, you know, you are fundamentally the main voice all the time. So, which is why I think chamber groups traditionally don't memorize their parts. Because, of course, the other thing is if anything goes wrong and you get lost and you forget what you're doing, you're going to upset completely the other three players in the case of a quartet. And, you know, that could be a disaster. You might not find your way back in. So there's a safety net of having the music there too.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, I was just having a mental picture of the quartet, like just musical train wreck.
Yes. Well, actually, there's a famous story about a huge Beethoven fugue where quartets do get completely lost, even with the music in front of them. It's so complicated. And the story goes that when that happens, somebody kicks their music stand over by accident in order to bring the bring the performance to an abrupt halt so that they can restart
oh,
at
dear.
A place where
Oh, I don't think I've ever heard that. There must be a reason why that's the reason why I've never heard
that. That's our secret. Don't tell anybody.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, I know there is incredibly difficult music where even reading from the score note for note, it's very difficult to stay within the music.
Yeah.
And that reminds me of, and again, we've talked kind of around this and parts of this before. I've always thought that when musicians are really in the moment, when they're really deeply in the music, the audience can tell. The audience knows. I think musicians know. I've often seen musicians look at each other like, wow, in the middle of what they're playing because
yeah.
that moment
they
is happening,
it, yeah.
that you sense it. Where is your analytical brain in those moments?
I think that's the time when you're not analyzing anything at all.
It's put aside.
Completely. I think when you are just captivated by, the beauty or the passion of the sound and the music, it overwhelms you and then there's no question. That's generally speaking the best way in any case. So even when you appear to be, relating to the other musicians, watching them, responding to them, and I know that, audiences like to see that interaction. And I know that when you're feeling good about what you're doing, you absolutely do stop thinking about how you do it. And thinking about it really, I mean, why would we think about it all the time after we've been training and training and training? It's like a runner, really. Are you going to think about every step, every time your foot hits the ground and how you do it and which muscles are being used? I mean, you'd fall over. And without a question, the more comfortable you are with the music, the better you are prepared, the more it flows without those conscious thoughts. And probably even looking at the music, I mean, you might glance at it occasionally. And quite often, even just making the decision not to look at the music frees your mind and makes you kind of more aware of the entire space. And after all, we are projecting the music to the audience and then the sound in the hall, and you're aware of the people. And the more you are aware of the people and how the music is flowing, the better the performance is going to be. So, I've kind of learned to do this more in having been with the quartet now for, 6 years, this thing of having the music there, which I wasn't really very used to in all the years before, now I do make that decision, to not look and to just kind of imagine the music stand disappearing and not having that thing there in front of me. And, well, maybe the audience would prefer if I didn't too.
But, I think it's getting out of your own way. I remember a music teacher telling me years and years ago that the reason we practice, so it's in your fingers, it's in your body, and you don't have to then think about it when you're playing a piece. So you practice your scales, you practice positions, whatever the instrument is, so that you don't have to think about where do I put my hands? How do I put it on my lips if I'm a brass player? What do I do? It's all just part of you.
Most definitely. And, as the music is going along and you are, you're aware exactly of what's going to happen next, because that is, part of your preparation. You understand the architecture. You understand that one particular section follows another. The contrast in moods and colors and energies and the power and passion that changes and how it's all going to work. And then in another section later, how that's going to be like a completely different context and how you have to change things because, a piece of music is a bit like, a good meal and, you want to start with something and then have something different later and so on. And you have to be aware of those courses in your meal so that, you're not adding one flavor from the beginning into the second part. Otherwise, that would really spoil it. So you're working within those confines of a certain type of style and a certain type of mood, again, that the composer wants. But as those sections come along, you kind of dive again, to use that analogy, into that kind of sound and those areas. And therefore, sometimes you have to think very specifically about the way you're moving with the instruments. So suddenly it might be that you're moving much more calmly and all your movements are slower, perhaps more intense in a way, but kind of scaled down in order to create that mood. And then you're aware that it's going to explode in a moment and suddenly all your movements are going to be much more wild and perhaps more sort of, you know, extreme in a way in order to create that atmosphere. And you're thinking ahead and you're planning that and you're aware of the space you're in all the time. And
all the while being in the moment with the piece that you're playing right that moment.
Yes. And you want that to be, that moment to be incredibly special, not just because you want to show the audience that it is incredibly beautiful, but also for your, you know, for yourself. You want to have that enjoyment of it being in the moment, that there is a spontaneity in the way you play it. But of course, that fits into a kind of plan and an understanding of what is required in the music at that moment.
So what did you tell your friend? What was the short
version? I'm telling her now.
Yeah, okay. You didn't answer her at that point. Okay.
No.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I'm sure she'll be listening.
Well, hopefully we've answered it.
I hope so too.
But we'll have more conversations. So if we didn't, we'll tackle it again.
Indeed.
Robert, it is always wonderful to see you. Thank you so much.
You too. Thank you, Bonnie.
Robert Cohen is the cellist for the Milwaukee-based Fine Arts Quartet. He joins us every month to talk about the life of a working classical musician in a segment called On That Note.